Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Place that strengthens itself against Israel. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Ramah, by permit no one to go out or come in to Asa, king of Israel. And also took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house, sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, raise a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Hold, I am sending to you silver and gold. So break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, he may withdraw from me. And Hadad listened to King Asa, and sent the commanders of his armies against of Israel, and they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abomaim, all the stores east of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his word cease. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber Baasha had been building, with them he built Keba and Judah. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Don't you rely on the king of Syria? Not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has deceived you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? If he felt you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, give strong support to those whose heart is blameless for him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have war." And also was angry with the seer and put him in the Stoxic prison. He was in a rage with him because of this, and also inflicted cruelty upon some of the people at the same time. Acts of Asa, from first to last, are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. And even in his disease, he did not see before, but sought help from physicians. Asa slept with his father, dying in the 41st year of his reign. He buried him in the tomb that he had cut for himself, the city of David. Laid him on a bier that had been filled with various kinds of spices prepared by the perfumer's art, and he made a very great fire in his honor. Chapter 7. Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. Placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah, set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim, also his father had captured. Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments, not according to the practices of his people. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hands. All Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat. He had great riches enough. His heart was too late in the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he took the high places and the Asherim houses. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, and Micaiah, to speak in the cities of Judah. With them, the Levites, Shemaiah, Ezaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Servadonijah, and with the Levites, the priests, Elishama, and Jehoram. And they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went about through all the cities of Judah, and taught among the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah. They made no war against Jehoshaphat. Some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents, silver for Turkey. The Arabians also brought him 7,700 rams, 7,700 goats. And Jehoshaphat grew steadily greater, built in Judah fortresses and store cities, and he had large supplies in the cities of Judah. He had soldiers, mighty men of valor in Jerusalem. But the muster of them by father's houses, Judah, the commanders of thousands, Adna, the commander with 300,000 mighty men of valor, next to him Jehohanan, the commander, 280,000. Here, Amasiah, the son of Zichri, volunteered from the service of the Lord. 200,000 mighty men of valor. Of Benjamin Eliada, a mighty man of valor, with 200,000 men armed with sword and shield. Next to him, Jehoshaphat, with 180,000 armed for war. When in the service of the king, I those whom the king had placed for the fortified city throughout all Judah. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he made a marriage alliance with Ahab. After some years, he went down to Rahab in Samaria. Ahab killed an abundance of sheep and oxen for him, for the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against the realm of Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, you go with me to Ramoth Gilead. He answered him,
we have to decide how we're going to respond to temptation. The way Jesus responded, simply this. And this scripture says to be tempted by the devil. Why in the world would God allow the devil to tempt his son? Probably more than one reason, but remember this. One of the primary reasons God allows testing and trial in our life is to prepare us. Prepare us oftentimes for greater testing and greater trial. And so what Jesus is suffering. Here or experiencing is the fact that the Father is now getting him ready to face the reality of his awesomeness. And so 40 days of listening to God, so he was listening and talking to the Father. What you know what you and imagine the kind of conversation. It's an awesome, awesome time of listening to the Father. And so now, at the end of that 40 days, Satan shows up. Listen to what he says. And the tempter came and said to him, what? Not since you are, but not now that you are, but if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. If you are. Not since you are, but if you're the Son of God. In other words, if you're who you say you are, then you have the power to turn these stones into bread. And what he was saying is, why don't you just use your power, your divine supernatural power? The truth is, why don't you just use it? By turning stones into bread, that'd be very impressive. And besides, that would be a way of satisfying your hunger in a miraculous way. Serve him only. Every single time, Jesus used the same method of dealing with temptation. Now, I don't think any of us can improve on that method. Think about this. This is what you have the privilege of doing. You can build this wall of strength. You can build this resource. You can build this armor before you against temptation. Does that mean it'll never break through? No. But it means that you build into your life the Word of God. If the Word of God is a vital part of your thinking, a vital part of your decision-making, a vital part of your lifestyle, the Word of God is a vital part of your life. It's something that you read daily. It's something that you believe from cover to cover. It is a pattern for your life.
Amen.
The promises of God are here. The power of God is here. If you will build the truth of God into your life, you will build a barrier. I'm not saying that you'll never get tempted. Naturally, you're going to get tempted. I'm not saying that you'll never falter because we still live in these bodies and we live in a corrupt world. But you will have a resource and you will have a defense against the devil that, listen, you will falter nearer and nearer and nearer time. Here's what I'm saying to you. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to yield to temptation. You say, but it's so strong. Sure, it's strong. The devil doesn't come along and say, well, I want to get you. Now, what he says, I want you. So temptation doesn't come. It's simple. He comes as the strength of the devil to defeat you, drag you down in unbelief and weakness that you yield to the devil.
The Bible book.
Home, sweet home. There is no place like home. By James Smith. These all died in faith. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews 11:13. The day of life with them is ended. Its duties are ended. Its responsibilities are past. Its hours are fled away. What a trying day some of them had. How stormy, how sultry, how often overcast, how gloomy. But 'tis now past, and past forever. The toils of the wilderness are over. They had much to afflict and pain them. A difficult and dangerous journey, a long, wearisome march, many a heavy cross to carry, many a stubborn foe to face, many a painful doubt. Numerous gloomy fears. But now, the wilderness is all behind them. The afflictions of the pilgrimage are terminated. Those sufferings were sharp, and some of them continued long. Many of them were endured in secret, without sympathy, and without relief. They were soul sorrows, agony of mind, as well as sharp pains of body. But however multiplied, however severe, however protracted those sorrows, they are past and gone, never, never to return. The sweetest repose is now enjoyed. The poor tabernacle has been taken down and is laid in a quiet resting place until the resurrection morning. The soul is gone to be with Jesus. It has traveled through the rough path of life and is now in God's presence, where there is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. As Christians, we are going to the same place. The graves will soon be ready for our bodies, and the mansions of glory for our souls. We are going home, home to our Father's house, home where our hearts have long been, home where our prayers will be answered, and all our best desires will be gratified. Home, sweet home, there is no place like home, especially our home, a paradise without a tempting serpent, a paradise where all are holy, all are safe, all are happy. Those pure and perpetual joys at God's right hand await us. Taste them now, and are delighted with a sip. But there we shall soon drink full draughts of eternal glory, eternal joy, and eternal blessedness.